Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So you've handed us quite a stack of sources this time, detailing, well, one of the biggest market puzzles we've seen in years, maybe this decade. We're talking about this really dramatic divergence between gold and stock performance, specifically in 2025.
Yeah, it's a fascinating situation. The sources are throwing around some pretty serious terms, like bubble warnings for equities. But here's the weird part. You've got stocks, the S&P 500, hitting record highs. And at the exact same time, gold is also hitting unprecedented record highs.
Assets that often move, you know, and it feels like a major historical anomaly. It's confusing.
It really is. A split personality market, you could say. So our mission today, I think, is to get under the hood here. Let's unpack what's really driving this extreme behavior. What's it actually telling us about portfolio risk? And maybe most importantly for you listening, how do you even begin to interpret this to, you know, refine your own strategies?
Okay, let's start with the scale of it, because this isn't just gold sort of ambling along. It's sprinting ahead, even while the stock market party seems to be going strong. The sheer outperformance of gold in 2025 is just stunning, because it really flies in the face of that conventional wisdom, doesn't it? That gold only shines when stocks are tanking.
Well, that conventional wisdom, it holds water maybe 80% of the time, historically speaking. But this year, no, the metal hasn't waited for panic selling. It's surging right alongside the equity rally. That dual track, that's the key thing our sources are flagging. A risk asset soaring next to a safe haven, it's unusual.
Let's put some hard numbers on it. As of early November 2025, gold, it's blasted past $4,000 an ounce, first time ever. And stocks. The S&P 500 is firmly over the 6,700 mark. Another new peak.
Both are incredible milestones, absolutely. But the year-to-date gains, that's where you see the market's underlying anxiety creeping in. Gold is up, get this, 48%. 48%. Meanwhile, the S&P 500, even with its records, is up 15%.
15% is great, normally, but 48% for gold. I mean, that's the kind of return you usually associate with some speculative tech stock at peak hype. For a safe haven asset to do that suggests there's some deep systemic fear that, well, the equity markets are just kind of ignoring right now.
Precisely. And if you put that 48% versus 15% into historical context, well, this level of gold outperformance makes 2025 the seventh worst relative year for stocks compared to gold since 1973, since the gold standard ended, basically. So it's not just a blip. It feels like a genuine rotation is happening where protection is just massively outpacing risk taking. You've got this market showing both extreme greed in stocks and, frankly, extreme fear in gold simultaneously.
Okay, that simultaneous greed and fear, that leads us right into these bubble warnings in equities. If the S&P is soaring past 6,700, why are serious people ringing alarm bells?
It really boils down to valuation, specifically the TAPE ratio, cyclically adjusted price to earnings. That's the indicator that's flashing bright red right now.
Right, the KPE ratio, sometimes called the Shiller PE.
Yeah.
For anyone not familiar, it's different from your standard PE because it tries to smooth things out, right?
Yeah.
It averages earnings over the last 10 years, adjusts for inflation to give you a sort of longer-term view of how expensive the market is.
Exactly. It filters out the short-term noise. And what the sources are showing is that the CPE ratio has been stuck above 40 for months now. Months. You have to ask, when's the last time we saw valuations sustained at that kind of level?
We know the answer. It was the peak of the dot-com bubble. Late 90s, early 2000s. That's the only real comparison.
Right. And here's a kicker, the implication. Look, high valuations aren't automatically a disaster if earnings growth explodes to justify them later. But when CPE is this high, it signals the market is basically pricing in perfection for the next decade. Just absolute perfect execution. So if those rosy growth forecasts stumble even a little bit, the risk of a really nasty correction gets amplified. It leaves portfolios that are heavily concentrated in, say, the S&P 500 index very exposed.
And we should probably add, what's driving that high GP number right now? It's not like the whole market is booming equally. It's concentration, isn't it? A lot of that 15% gain in the S&P is really down to just a handful of mega cap tech names. That kind of distorts the picture for the overall market.
That concentration makes the risk even sharper, absolutely. If those few giants stumble, that whole 6,700 level could vanish pretty quickly. So you basically got stocks priced like it's 1999, but maybe with the market structure risks, the concentration risks of 2025, it's a potent mix.
Okay, so stocks are flirting with maybe historical excess, but then why is gold acting like it already sees the train wreck coming? What's making gold surge independently?
Well, we have to step back and think about gold's fundamental role. It's an independent asset. In normal times, you know, healthy economic growth, gold's correlation with stocks is pretty weak, maybe fluctuates between, say, 0.1 and Naira 0.3. They mostly just do their own thing.
But you don't own gold for the normal times, usually.
Yeah.
It's meant to be that insurance policy for when things go really wrong.
Absolutely. During those prolonged, nasty bear markets or a full-blown systemic crisis, think 2008, that correlation often flips sharply negative, like negative 0.5 or even lower. That negative correlation, that's the holy grail for diversification, right? When your stocks are cratering, gold is often actually rising, providing that real hedge. The fact that it's rising so strongly now suggests big investors are already pricing in the need for that kind of protection. They're getting ahead of it.
Which brings us to the institutional drivers the sources highlight. This isn't just small retail investors getting jittery. This is big, sticky money moving into gold.
It seems entirely strategic. Look at the central banks. Globally, they hold something like 51,000 metric tons of gold reserves. That's a huge number. Mm-hmm. And it's not just sitting there gathering dust. It's a core part of their strategy. They value its diversification, its protection against, you know, sovereign risk.
51,000 tons.
Yeah. Wow.
And the sources are saying that in 2025, other institutions, pension funds, sovereign wealth funds, even big hedge funds, they've significantly upped their gold allocations too. What flipped the switch for them this year?
It looks like a kind of dual hedge against these major macro shifts that are underway. First, like the central banks, they're hedging currency risk. There's this ongoing effort by global players to reduce their dependence on the US dollar as a sort of sole reserve asset. They want genuine diversification away from fiat currencies altogether. And second, they're hedging inflation, the after effects of all that monetary stimulus, high government debt levels. It keeps raising questions about whether inflation is really under control long term. Gold has always been the classic hedge when faith in fiscal or monetary policy starts to wobble. And you see that reflected in flows into gold ETFs, for instance. It's institutional money trying to lock in inflation protection and currency independence at the same time.
That makes sense. They're not necessarily waiting for a crash. They're reacting to these bigger structural shifts already happening. Okay, let's pivot to the long view, the historical context. It helps appreciate just how significant this moment might be. We often forget that market leadership isn't permanent.
Yeah, it's easy to forget. We have to remember, gold bull markets often pop up during periods of really intense uncertainty, especially around monetary regime changes. Think about the 1970s. That's the classic example, right? The Bretton Woods system collapsed. You had high inflation, oil shocks, geopolitical tension. Gold was the undisputed king then, because the very foundations of the financial system felt shaky.
And the sources included this incredibly powerful anecdote about asset rotation, something that, frankly, should make anyone pause when they see the S&P at 6,700. We always measure market recovery in dollars, but if you measure in gold terms,
yeah,
well, the story changes dramatically.
It really highlights the sort of tyranny of the long term, doesn't it? After the 1929 stock market crash, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, you know, the symbol of American capitalism, it took an unbelievable 30 years just to get back to its 1929 value when measured against gold.
30 years. Just imagine telling an investor in, say, 1930 that they'd have to wait 3 decades just to break even relative to gold. They'd think you were crazy. That fact alone just hammers home that asset leadership doesn't just rotate. It can stay rotated for a generation or more.
And that kind of perspective really puts this year's 15% S&P gain versus 48% for gold into sharp relief, doesn't it? It suggests maybe what we're seeing isn't just a tactical adjustment, but potentially the early innings of a really significant structural regime shift in asset leadership.
So, okay, let's pull it together. We've got the historical parallels. We've got the current data. What are the immediate macro trends in 2025 that are really feeding this investor anxiety and driving money into gold?
Well, as we've touched on, it's kind of a cocktail of worries. You've got these persistent, sticky inflationary pressures that central banks seem to be struggling to fully stamp out. You have ongoing geopolitical instability in several hotspots, which drives up sovereign risk perceptions. And yes, the background concern about the long-term value of the US dollar is definitely still there for global investors. You know, reading through the analysis, many are saying quite openly that the feeling of investor anxiety right now, the kind of fear driving gold higher, it feels uncomfortably similar to the lead up to the 2008 crisis. Even if the specific causes are different this time, you've got that mix again. High valuations meeting systemic distrust.
That comparison 2008 levels of anxiety mixed with dot-com level valuations, that's precisely why this moment feels so unique, historically speaking. We're seeing these two completely conflicting realities being priced into the market at the same time.
Which brings us back to the core lesson from, you know, modern portfolio theory. It's just more critical now than ever. This environment absolutely demands robust risk management.
Okay, so let's synthesize this for you listening. Given everything we've discussed, the extreme valuation warnings in stocks, the huge institutional shift into gold, what's the practical takeaway? How should you be thinking about risk management right now?
I think the key application is about balancing your bets. Yes, gold offers really vital protection against those big systemic shocks, especially because of that negative correlation during stress periods. But real diversification isn't just about owning stocks and gold. It's about internalizing the lesson that market leadership rotates constantly. This extreme divergence we're seeing should be a stark reminder that just riding one asset class, assuming it'll lead forever, is really dangerous. You benefit most from intelligently allocating across multiple, ideally non-correlated asset classes, things like real estate, other commodities, maybe different types of fixed income, alongside your equities and metals. You have to recognize that the environment changes, and yesterday's winner can be tomorrow's laggard for a surprisingly long time.
Yeah. This really feels like a historic moment. The simultaneous rise of gold and stocks, combined with those CAPE ratios screaming warnings above 40, it forces a fundamental rethink about how you even define risk in your portfolio.
It really does. It demands shifting focus, maybe away from just chasing those headline returns, and more towards building genuine resilience, genuine insulation into your portfolio, enough to withstand these big structural shifts, not just, you know, the next quarterly earnings surprise.
Exactly. We've seen that recovery measured in gold can take decades. This divergence suggests we might be in the middle of another major leadership rotation. So if these market cycles do persist, and history suggests they do, that leaves us with a final provocative thought for you to mull over. Considering the specific dynamics we've discussed today, the inflation fears, the institutional hedging against the dollar, which historical period of asset leadership rotation do you think best mirrors what we're seeing right now? Is it the 1970s? Is it the post-2000 commodity supercycle? Or maybe something else entirely? Keep digging into those long-term cycles. We'll see you on the next deep dive.